Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more, or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A lot of you hanging on right to the phone calls. First up today, Nick, who was listening in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Hank, I've been wanting to ask you. At one point, Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then again, he turns around and says, the dead in Christ will rise first. So I didn't understand the difference with that.
Well, you know, Paul is talking in one sense about what happens in the intermediate state. If you were to die, you would be absent as a believer, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But that is a temporary condition, because there is a time in which Jesus will appear a second time, and when he does, you will be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And at that time, you will experience the eternal state. And Paul, of course, talks about the eternal state as well. He's talking about what will happen when Jesus appears a second time.
So when you talk about the temporary, is that I heard someone explain it to where they said the spirit rises, but then when the rapture comes in, the body will be raised.
Let me cash that out for you. If you were to die right now, Lord forbid, but if you were to die, your body would be buried, your metaphysical aspect would be with the Lord. In other words, your soul or spirit would be in the presence of the Lord. When Jesus appears a second time, the soul returns to the body, and then that body is raised, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, and you will then live as a body-soul unity with a resurrected Christ in a renewed universe for all eternity.
Very good. So that goes into the glorified body then?
Yeah, that is the glorified body, and that is the eternal state.
Okay, very good. Well, I appreciate your time, and thanks for all you do.
You're welcome. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jim in Tacoma, Washington. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I had a question. I heard a preacher say one time, there's only two people in this world, saved or lost. And so kind of remind me of the person that was at the wedding in heaven and ask him why he didn't have a wedding garment on. And so I'm wondering, saved or lost, is that what it comes down to?
Yeah, that's exactly right. There are only two kinds of people in the world, those who are followers of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who knit you together in your mother's womb, the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, or those who refuse to follow him and instead follow the dictates of their own will, the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Yeah, okay. I agree. All right, thank you very much, then.
You got it. Jeswin next in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I got a question from Matthew 28. When Jesus calls the disciples and gives them the Great Commission, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So when he says given, is this something he receives after resurrection, or I just want to check?
No. I mean, Jesus is, remember, the God-man. And we read in Philippians that he experienced kenosis. He emptied himself. And he did that so that we might be filled with Christ. So he became a man, taking on an additional nature, so that we might be partakers of the divine nature. And Jesus speaks in the Great Commission from the perspective of his humanity. He is the representative of God, in whom all authority in heaven and earth is vested. And obviously, from the perspective of his deity, that authority is innately his. It is his by ontology or nature. The point of the passage, of course, is that we are to go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And Jesus said, surely I'll be with you always, even to the very end of the age. What I love about this passage is all three persons of the Trinity are communicated, and it is a reminder that when people are baptized, they are brought into the fellowship of the Trinity, the very thing that we are created for.
Thank you.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Mike in Oklahoma. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
There's a lot of false teaching on the radio and on the TV, and there's a lot of people who are following these false teaching. Would they be accepted or denied into heaven?
Well, I think that ultimately is the province of the Holy Spirit. There are people who are genuinely seeking after the Lord, and their heart is to know the truth and to live by the truth. Their predisposition is to be seekers of truth in faith and practice. And of course, that always comes by being Berean, meaning that you test what is being said in light of Scripture, and you hold fast to that which is good. There are, of course, many secondary issues. We can debate them vigorously. We ultimately don't have to divide over them. So I think what's important is that Christians become rooted and grounded in the essentials of the historic Christian faith, and then they can discern wheat from chaff and heat from light.
All right. Well, thanks for taking my call.
You got it. And this does not in any way negate the significance of false teachers. I think of what the Apostle Paul said, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you, and they will not spare the flock. Even from among your own numbers, men are going to arise. They're going to distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you night and day with tears. So we live in a post-truth culture. Truth matters. And there are many people who are wolves in sheep's clothing within the body of Christ. And we ought to be aware of them. But the best antidote is to know the truth. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Doug in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Doug.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I think God would send signs just like when Jesus came back the first time. And I was wondering if Jesus was like the second Adam. God's going to send signs just like he did on the first Adam. I mean, Jesus, you know, he's the second Adam. So when Jesus comes back again, it'll be like another guy, but it won't be the same guy as Jesus. Just like Jesus wasn't the same guy as the first Adam. He comes in the mission of Adam, just like Elijah, John the Baptist.
No, I mean, if you read the grand meta-narrative of Scripture, what you find is that Adam and Eve fell into lies of perpetual sin, terminated by death. The rest of the Bible's God's unfolding plan of redemption culminating in a last Adam. As 1 Corinthians 15 puts it, it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. And so Jesus comes and he provides what the first Adam did not provide. He provides life and the opportunity to experience not only salvation from shipwreck, as it were, but more than that, continuing on in a journey by which you can become a partaker of the divine nature. So this is about Jesus Christ, the last Adam, who is God in human flesh, who took upon himself our infirmities so that we might be filled with him, not only in time, but also in eternity. Don't have enough time to go to another caller, although I'll be going right back to your calls when we return from the break. But do want to mention that this ministry is supported by many people, and those people are making a difference. I'll give you just one example. Josh writes me, "Thank you, Hank, and all of you at CRI for proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Recently, the Lord has been placing in my path more and more people hungry to hear the gospel. I've been meaning to thank you for all of the research that you do to help equip us to be prepared for the hope that lies within with gentleness and respect. I have been, for lack of a better word, regurgitating all that I hear from the broadcast to many of the people I've encountered. The Holy Spirit has been speaking through me to these men, and I can only attribute the answers I give to the broadcast and to the Holy Spirit. Thank you for helping me and many like me be prepared." What a great testimony, and it is a result of people that support this ministry that stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. We'll be right back with more of the show.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back after the break. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many. The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and welcome back to the phone lines. We'll talk to R.C. He's listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, R.C.
Hi, Hank. Always a great honor to talk to you.
Yeah, nice to talk to you.
I recently made friends with a gentleman that has issues with my conservatism, I guess. And he asked me a question saying, why is it okay now to wear two different clothing, where in Leviticus it was not okay, and then it's not okay, it's okay to do that now, and then having homosexual relations is still bad?
Well, I mean, it's the same reason that today it would be an abomination, it would be trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ to go back to temple, priest, and sacrifice when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come, right? So the types and shadows of the Old Testament are fulfilled in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're no longer in a theocratic kingdom where these object lessons were used to demonstrate the difference between that which was clean and that which was unclean. And these object lessons were purposeful. The Israelites were to be a light to the nations rather than to imitate the pagan ways of the nations. So there's a quantum difference between enduring moral principles, such as those regarding same-sex proclivities and temporary ceremonial practices that are relegated to a particular historical context. And I think that's obvious to anyone who reads the grand meta-narrative of Scripture.
So basically, was it a category mistake that he was asking me about?
Well, sure, because again, as I just mentioned, there's a big, big difference between an enduring moral principle that is not abrogated and a civil or ceremonial law, which was in the context of a theocratic kingdom and was to be an object lesson to the people of God until that object lesson found its fulfillment in Jesus Christ.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Mike listening in Louisiana. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Hank. I appreciate you taking my call. I adore your ministry. I listen to you driving home almost every day, and just appreciate your kind words, and I've learned so much from you. My question is, I'm 47. When I was 12, I became a Christian at a lock-in, and because of just how I was brought up, my relationship with my dad, et cetera, I've just had really tough doubts about my salvation. And even when I was 13, I probably pestered my youth director so much about my doubt that he finally, you know, we talked and I just to come to determine that maybe I asked Jesus in my life and trusted him because only for fire insurance, you know. And I prayed again, got baptized again, but that didn't settle it. And I know this problem is just keeping me back, you know, from serving the Lord like I want to, like He desires. So I just am, I guess, calling, asking for encouragement, and just wondering if you had some words of wisdom for me.
Sure, Mike. I think what's important is to realize, and you were so wise in pointing this out in the prologue to your question, that the Christian faith is not just about an insurance policy that gets you out of a bad place and gets you into a good place. The Christian faith is a way in which you can experience life and life to the full. So it's a journey with Christ. It is being, again in the words of Peter, a partaker of the divine nature. And you do become a partaker of the divine nature by building your relationship with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and by partaking of the means that He gives us. He gives us the means of grace by which we can experience Him, literally experience Him, literally experience His real presence in your life. Now, if you neglect the means of grace, then you'll always have that uncertainty and doubt. But if you partake of the means of grace and that within the community of faith, then you can, in fact, experience Christ, and he can become more real to you than the very flesh upon your bones. So the idea, again, is not just to pray a prayer. It is to have a relationship. It is about being brought into the life of the Trinity, the very thing that you were designed to be. You are created in the image and likeness of God, and as you grow in your relationship with our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, as you experience the power of the Holy Spirit, you experience the fellowship of the Father as well. This is the very thing that we are created for, and that's why I said earlier on, by way of analogy, the Christian faith is not just about saving us from a shipwreck. It is that, but it's more than that. Once you're saved from the shipwreck, what do you do now? Well, you want to continue on the journey wherever the destination was. And this is the same thing with us. We continue on the journey, become more Christ-like, and eventually we experience deification, not in the sense that we are ontologically like God, but we become by grace what God is by nature. So it's all about building that relationship, not only by our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but also with those that are his body, because there's no such thing within the body of Christ as a lone ranger Christian. I hope that helps. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Wendell in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hi, Wendell.
Hi, Hank. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Good. Fine, thank you. I have a question, and I was wondering, like, people that may have, they're gonna have their bodies going to be changed, right? Glorious body. But people that go to hell, sinners, they're also going to be changed too. They're going to have an incorruptible, unglorified body, right?
Well, we can't shout where the Bible's largely silent. What we do know, and I quoted this earlier, is that a time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. We also know that as believers, our bodies are going to be imperishable, incorruptible. They're going to be glorified bodies. The Bible simply tells us that the unbelievers who are created in the Imago Dei as well are going to be resurrected, but they are going to live apart from the goodness and the glory of God, because that is precisely what they want. Exactly what their bodies will be like, we don't know, just as we can't imagine what our glorified bodies will be. Which is to say, by analogy, you can imagine a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. It goes through metamorphosis. What a difference. The caterpillar have eyes that can distinguish between light and dark, but the butterfly has a field of vision and color acuity that exceeds yours and mine. The caterpillar doesn't have a proboscis by which to indulge in the nectar of life, doesn't have wings. Same physically, by the way, because its constituent parts devolve into a mysterious molecular mixture in a chrysalis. So it's the same physically, but it's different organizationally. And so it will be with us, but how exactly we will look and how exactly the bodies of those who are separated from the goodness, the glory, and the grace of God will be, we simply do not know. We do know that they will be resurrected bodies.
Yes, sir, I see. That makes sense. I did have one more just very quick question. Why do people, teachers and pastors, people that should know better, why do they say that our loved ones are up in heaven looking down on us, the ones that made heaven, and when the Bible clearly states that the dead know nothing? I don't understand why they do that.
Well, there's a context for the passage in Ecclesiastes, I think it's 9:5, and that context isn't entirely clear. There's also a context for what's going on in Hebrews chapter 12. And that is, again, not entirely clear. Is the writer of Hebrews only talking about those who have gone before us as an example? Or is he also including those like my father who is in the presence of the Lord in this great cloud of witnesses who are urging to run the race with perseverance, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith. So I think that, you know, there are different interpretations. The one thing that we know, whether or not my dad knows what I'm doing right now and is urging me on, whether he can see me or not, I don't know for certain. The one thing I do know for certain, and the Bible is crystal clear about, is that he is enjoying the presence of the Lord and the presence of other saints. And we will do so as well when we depart the body. And when Jesus comes the second time, as I said the first part of the show, we will experience the glorious truth of resurrection. This is what we long for and we hope for. And by the way, it's what animated the early Christians. They were willing to face all of the indignities that one human being can foist upon another because they knew that they would rise. And we thank all of those that stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, because we have a part in building the body of Christ. See you right back here tomorrow with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.